We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. There is very little you can say about Cynthia Swanson's new novel, The Bookseller, without giving too much away. So let's tell you a little about Swanson herself. This is the Milwaukee native's first novel, although she has published short fiction in a number of periodicals. One story, in fact, was nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Swanson's background is in design, which figures peripherally in the new novel.
The new book jumps between two time periods, both in the past. Swanson joined us in the studio on a recent book tour that took her to her hometown, and she sets up the story for us, again, without giving too much away.
The Bookseller tells the story of Kitty Miller, who's 38 years old. She's single. She owns a bookstore in Denver, Colorado with her best friend, Frida. And she begins to have dreams that she has an alternative life where she's married, she has children, and the bookstore is no longer, and Frida is gone from her life. So when I started writing this book, I actually had it set in the present day. And I got about a quarter of a way into a first draft. And I realized that the present day wasn't going to work for this story. Because without giving away too much, part of what the story hinges on is a missed opportunity and missing some information. And Kitty needs to find out that she's missed some information. And that's what changed really the course of her life from the dream life to the real life. And that had to happen slowly. She had to find that out slowly. And that wouldn't happen in the way that we live in 2015. If somebody missed an opportunity, people would be texting and you'd be going on the internet and Googling and you'd be trying to find out what happened. It wouldn't take 8 years, which is what it takes this character to find out what happened to a missed opportunity that happened in 1954 and completely changed the course of her life. And fast forward to 1962, and there are two parallel possibilities of her life depending on what would have happened in that missed opportunity moment.
I think we all have that in our lives. And the older you get, the more you think about those missed opportunities.
Right, yeah.
And if you're even aware that there might have been a fork in the road that you didn't know you were taking or not taking, but you look back and you say, oh. And I love the way you slowly reveal what's going on. I mean, she's having to take time to find out. You know, she literally goes to a library to look at, you know, microfiche or the equivalent of whatever it was. She's trying to track down this information. And we as readers have to take our time as well.
Right. Yes. Yes. So you have to take your time with the story. Although I've been told it's a pretty quick read. It's a page turner and people do want to find out what's going on. So it's you can get through it pretty quickly because most people do want to kind of figure out where the story is going and what's going on with these two parallel lives between the dream life and the real life.
Was the dream life and the real life, that kind of parallel thing, was that part of the story from the beginning or is that something that developed for you as a writer?
It definitely was the seed of the story, was thinking about that. And the idea for the story came to me very suddenly one day. I had, backing up a little bit, I wrote a lot of fiction when I was younger. I published some short fiction, wrote a few other novels that didn't get anywhere. And then I met my husband and got married and had three kids in 4 years, and creativity went right out the window. I worked, but I did not do any creative writing whatsoever. And then one day when I have twins, and when they were six and my younger child was three, one day I was at the gym and I was working out and my younger kid was in the child care and my older ones were at school. And I just had this just moment for a second where I just thought, what in the world am I doing in this life? What happened to the life I used to have where I lived alone and I had my cat and my dog and my job and I read all night long? And it made me start thinking about a character and what it would be like to be a character who wasn't sure what life she belonged in, and started thinking about two different lives and how we all have those little moments that make our lives turn one way or the other. And that idea fascinates me. So I started thinking about how that would work with a particular character and how she could see her life going in two different directions.
I also thought the early 60s was an interesting choice as well, because that was such a time of change.
Absolutely.
In this country.
Right. Yep.
So many things were going on.
Right, right. And it was very intentionally set pre Kennedy's assassination, just at the beginning of civil rights starting to heat up. For those particular reasons, it felt like the story needed a level of innocence and optimism that I think if it had been set later in the 60s might not have been there. People started getting a little more cynical because of a lot of experiences, because of a lot of things that were happening, losing a president and, you know, going to Vietnam and many other things that happened in the 60s later on would have made a very different story. But that early time when Kennedy was in the White House and there was the Cuban Missile Crisis, which is mentioned in this book. But in some ways, I mean, that scared people. But as the character even mentions, she never really thought the world was ending. And I think a lot of people felt that way. They felt very confident for the most part.
There was that optimism.
Yeah.
And everyone was, or maybe not everyone, but a lot of people were excited about the Kennedy presidency.
Right.
You know, things were looking up. We just come out of a decade of wonderful economic progress,
right.
And that takes – that's part of the book, too, is sort of the idea of things building and expanding and kind of needing to find your way back from things as well as out and taking the risk to go out into new things. The space – you know, the space race was starting.
Yes, right. Yep. Yeah, several of those things are mentioned. There's a point very early in the book where she says that – which was true, that – Kennedy had just given a speech that, you know, he'd have a man on the moon by the end of the decade. And she said, I'll believe it when I see it. Of course, we all know how that turned out.
Right, right.
And I think there's a romance to it for those of us who were children then or maybe even weren't even born yet. You know, you can kind of look back on it with a little bit of nostalgia. Of course, there's Mad Men, which so many people enjoyed. But that got cynical, too. I mean, the earlier seasons of Mad Men I enjoyed a lot more than later on because you saw the climate changing, the cultural climate, and, you know, things have come around the way that they come around. But there's just something about that early 60s time frame that I think people have a lot of nostalgia for.
I also enjoyed – you talk about the hair a lot. And she, she finds a perfect hairdresser and having the wash and the set.
Yep.
And I remember my aunts doing that. That was such an important part of their week.
Yep. Yeah, it was. It was something that people did. And it was just the way that, that women's lives were very different. And it, not everybody sat around having their hair done all the time. And that's a little bit of a contrast, too, with the character. In the Kitty life as the bookseller, she's got this exasperating hair that she can't do anything with and a hairdresser that she doesn't care for and can't seem to fix it. And then in her Catherine life, as in her married life, where she's socializing a lot more and going out in fancy dresses, as you said, she has a hairdresser who knows how to fix all that. So it does seem as if things get a lot better in the Catherine life. But one of the interesting things, again, without giving too much away, is that you find over time that nothing's perfect. There's no ideal life. As she's dreaming about this Catherine life, in the beginning, it seems like a dream. She's got this wonderful husband and this beautiful house and lovely children, and she goes to parties and wears pretty dresses. But then things she starts seeing other layers and the things that she wouldn't have, if like losing her friendship with Frida, that she would not have in that life as Catherine, the married mother of three.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that is so appealing about this book is that we all have those second thoughts, like, what if I did this instead of that?
Right.
And, you know, here she is able to go back and forth seemingly without – she's not really planning to. It just happens.
Right.
But she's able to live in both lives.
Right.
And eventually, of course, she has to make a choice. But we won't give away what happens.
Won't give away.
But, you know, like all of us, you do have – either a choice is made for you or you make a choice.
Correct. And I think that's a lot of what I was getting at. And it's something that I say to my kids all the time is you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And that's really true of life. I mean – we can only control so much, and so much more is based on how we react to what's beyond our control. And that's really where the level of your happiness can come from is in how you behave around the things that are beyond your control.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what this book gets at, too.
Was Kitty based on somebody, or is she really a figment?
She's a figment. I mean, she's certainly there's some autobiographical things, although I don't own a bookstore and I've never owned one. I would love to. I got to live vicariously through my character. So it always seemed like that would be such a great profession to have, is to be a bookstore owner.
Well, that's part of the romance of the book, too, is that that's when bookstores were actually, I mean, people shopped in bookstores.
Sure.
You know, you didn't have Kindle and you didn't
have
those things. You know, people actually bought books and they waited.
Yes.
For, you know, there's a whole part of a chapter in here where she's talking about, well, we've pre-ordered those, but they haven't gotten there. And people were had
correct
on waiting lists.
Yeah. Yeah. Silent Spring. Rachel Carson's Silent Spring came out that fall of 62. And that was a book that was very anticipated.
Ship of Fools, right?
And Ship of Fools was out. Yeah. Yeah. So there were several books like that that people had been waiting for. And I think there are some people who still do that. There's so many wonderful things that have happened through publishing this book, but one of the best things is building relationships with independent bookstores. And obviously, indie bookstores love this book. It's very popular with indie bookstores. And I've gotten to know so many wonderful booksellers. And just talking about that, I think the bookstore still exists. and is still important in the community because it's not there for price. It's not there for you to get the best bargain on the book because you can go on Amazon or go online or buy it used. But it is there for that customer service, for building that relationship, for being a part of a community. And that I just love that part of bookstores. I think that's just such a cool aspect of that business that still exists now.
For me, it's the smell.
Yeah.
I love walking into a bookstore, whether it's new, used, whatever, and there's just a smell.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just want to like hunker down in a comfy chair.
Right.
And see what's there to – what world to dive into.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I'm lucky that I'm raising 3 readers, so I can go into a bookstore and it's one of the places that my children will be – I know they'll always behave themselves in a bookstore. We can go in a bookstore and they will find the children's section and hunker down and read. They love to do that.
How does it feel being back home?
I love being here. It always makes me so happy. We usually drive here, and just crossing the border into Wisconsin. Even I think I've conditioned my poor children because even they cheer. They're like, "Yay, we're in Wisconsin! They
Mommy's happy now."
Yeah, mom's happy. My husband grew up in Chicago, so
so you're both kind of sort of home.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for stopping by and talking with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Cynthia Swanson's debut novel is called The Bookseller. Swanson is a Milwaukee native who now lives in Denver. She was in town for a recent event at Boswell Book Company.